This podcast is brought to you by Cedar HR Solutions. Support our sponsors, TimeClockIt and YourHIPAAtraining.com. Visit them on the web.
Hello, everyone. My name is Paul Edwards, and I'm the co-founder here at Cedar HR Solutions, and I'm joined by Michelle Oliver today.
Hello.
So Michelle and I are going to discuss workman's comp. We're going to kind of give you an overview of what you should and shouldn't do. And, you know, we get this question a lot, don't we?
We do. We get a call a couple times a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody may or may not be injured. And there's really a process to go through, and it's not that hard. It's pretty simple. So today's podcast is about workman's comp. So let's get started.
Okay. Just some basic information. I think that workers' comp is misunderstood and dreaded by most employers when, in fact, it's actually your friend. And every state has a mandated program. Every state's programs and laws are a little different.
Yep.
And most states do require that you carry it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to make the point that if you don't carry it and someone gets hurt on the job, then you're on the hook for it.
Absolutely, and that's going to get really costly.
And that could be a lifetime of having to take care of somebody who slipped and fell and really did injure themselves.
Correct.
So yeah. Workman's comp really is your friend.
It's your friend, for sure. So in most situations, employees will receive workers' comp no matter who was at fault. So just kind of be prepared for that as an employer. Use of workers' comp insurance likely, in almost every case that I've heard of, would preclude that employee being able to come back and sue you later for that same injury.
As long as it was done, the injury occurred on the job.
Correct. Yeah. And you followed through and gave them the care and followed the process that workers' comp lays out.
I got a quick story I want to share. I just thought of. We didn't even talk about this. Okay. You know, in our handbook, we talk about it applies even when you're out on a seminar or something, you're out traveling, the rules and the conditions of the employee handbook still apply. So we had an instance where someone got on a plane and she drank too much while she was on the plane. Mm. And as she was stepping off the plane, she slipped and fell. Or, you know, where the on-ramp is. She fell over and she hurt her knee when she landed.
Okay.
And she attempted to file a workman's comp claim. And they used our policy in order to deny the claim because she had been essentially drinking on the job.
Exactly. So if something is self-inflicted, if it was done while the employee was violating the law, if they were not on the job, if they were impaired on the job, likely you're not going to be on the hook at all.
Okay, good. So what do you do if somebody's really hurt? I know one time, long time ago, I was a chef and was working for a catering company, and I was cutting tomatoes. And zing, lopped off the end of my thumb, a little piece of it. And the first thing they did was send me to the hospital, obviously because of bleeding all over every place. But while I was at the hospital, they took a blood sample for drugs.
Yes. So you're going to want to set up with a workers' comp clinic. There's a clinic almost in every town where you can go for vaccinations. A lot of times they're the medi-clinics. But these doctors there are trained, the physicians there are trained to deal with workers' comp situations and to document properly and to address the situation and the injury properly. So one of the things they will set up for you is a drug and alcohol testing as soon as somebody walks in with any injury.
It'll just be part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we say that they're probably going to get paid the claim no matter what, there are these exceptions.
Right.
Okay. So I want to share one other thing that I'm aware of. In Texas, you can go through the Texas Workman's Comp Insurance Program, sponsored by the state, or you can go with a private program. In either instance, if you decide not to go with any program at all, you lose your affirmative defense. So you can't argue that someone was impaired. You can't use any of your affirmative defenses, which would shift that over to the employee. So it's not that way in every state, but we noticed that down in Texas. They're not fooling around. And a lot of doctors were like, it's so expensive here, so I just haven't worried about it. I mean, we just never had an accident, but there's a serious problem with that. So know your laws. And I love that idea. Find the local clinic, the local doc in the box, because you're probably going to need it at least once in a while, and you just already know it's part of your procedure. Get down there, let them take a look at it. Let's see if it's as bad as we think it is or not bad at all.
Right. Okay? And it's always better safe than sorry with a workers' comp injury when anything happens on your premises.
So anything?
Yeah, needle stick, slip and fall, bump your head on an x-ray machine. Had somebody, one of our doctors called in their employee, bumped their head 4 months ago. And all of a sudden started missing work this month, saying her migraines that have recently onset were because, she's convinced, they were because she bumped her head on the x-ray machine four months ago.
And can you tell me, did she report this occurrence when it happened? Did they document it at all?
They didn't. You know, she did say, oh, I bumped my head. And they said, are you okay? Do you need anything? Do you need ice?
She said,
do you need
no.
to go home? Nope, I'm fine. And now, lo and behold, it's become an issue.
Is there a performance issue there with her?
There wasn't. Previously. Okay. Now, obviously, they have some concerns because she's not at work. But so you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, she's decided that her migraines are definitely from hitting her head 4 months ago.
Okay. And so one of the good things about workman's comp is that if you just call it in, what happens? So let's just say they you know, hindsight's always 20/20. I might not have called that in.
Mm-hmm.
But you call it in, what are you going to hear from your workman's comp people?
They might say, you know, this isn't something that you really need to call in, but let's just take down the information. We're going to put it on the file. We'll have it here in case it comes up.
Right.
You know, they'll let you know if it's something you really need to pursue or not.
Mm-hmm.
They won't make you feel foolish, generally speaking, for calling it in. And it's just always good to have there. So the other part of that, though, Paul, is have the employee fill out an incident report the day something happens.
Yep, and say what happened.
In their words.
In their words.
In their words. And even if nothing ever comes of it, you keep that in their file.
Mm-hmm.
And if something does come of it, you have the documentation. You're not trying to recall.
Right. And so you have the documentation, and you have a quick report to workman's comp. Doesn't mm-hmm. cause things to go up because you've called in three or four times.
Right.
And now, I mean, I don't know if the listeners are aware of this, but I think you are. The goal in a for an insurance company to make money is to not cover the incident.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's how they make their money, is to say, well, this is not a covered thing. They don't have a lot of leeway in workman's comp. If it happens on the job, they're on the hook. They're going to take care of it. But what they will do is make this person verify,
mm-hmm.
you know, out to the doctor, the drug test, whatever needs to be done that's within the law and within the bounds of their policies. They're going to do all of that, and they begin to take over the task of investigating or seeing if something's not quite up to snuff.
Right. If it's a false report, if somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes or the insurance company's eyes, they don't take kindly to that. And they're pros at investigating it.
Right.
So don't play detective.
No.
It's not going to work out well for you. Let them know. Definitely let your provider know. I'm suspicious of this claim.
Right.
But let them make the decision.
I think the vast majority of claims are valid. We had an issue. This has been a couple of years back. New doctor purchased a practice, paid quite a bit for it. It was a very successful practice, and was not getting along with three of the employees. And he had come to us, and we'd put a book in place, and things were changing. People were being held accountable. They couldn't come and go as they pleased. They couldn't change their schedules. He just wanted a more structured practice. Mm-hmm. And the leader of that team, she got upset, and they got in a couple of fights. And the next thing you know, she can see the writing on the wall that she's going to be let go. She's
mm-hmm.
about to lose her job over all this stuff she's been doing, because it's all documented. The doctor's completely covered. He's got his ducks in a row. And all of a sudden, she files a workman's comp claim. And then about 5 or 6 days later, the other two file workman's comp claims. And lo and behold, in the end, what was flushed out was that she had coerced those other two employees and said, he can't fire us while we're on a workman's comp, while we have a workman's comp claim. I need you guys to come on this. We're going to show him.
Right.
And workman's comp actually put pressure on one of those employees and kept telling him, this is a felony. If you file a false claim, we're going to figure it out. And when we do, it's not going to be good. Okay. And finally that whole story fell apart and all the claims went away. So just a story I want to share. Sometimes people will manipulate the system.
Right. And it ties back to oftentimes doctors, when you'll call in and maybe you're considering terminating somebody, but you're not sure if you want to. This is one of the things we'll warn against.
Right.
If there's somebody you're positive you want to get
mm-hmm.
rid of, but you're not positive how soon,
mm-hmm.
the answer is always sooner is better, because you don't want them to slip and fall. And then you're with them for another 6 months.
Oh,
or
that's
something.
Right. Yeah, because if they've filed a claim, whether it's valid or not, if you fire them within a certain amount of time, and there's, by the way, no one will give us what that time is.
Right.
I can't tell you, look, if you wait 3 months, you're perfectly safe. But I can tell you that if you wait a week, you're perfectly not safe. And you're definitely going to get a claim against you because, you know, it'll be retaliation in return for that person you haven't filed a claim.
Right.
Regardless of what you believe.
So always, always let your employees file a claim.
Yep.
Never keep them from filing a claim. And always, always, I should say, never, never fire somebody who has a claim or wants to place a claim.
Yeah, especially if the claim is still active or if any of those things are going on. Yeah. If you do have to fire them, and we're telling you we're almost always going to say no, the only thing that you would have to support you would be that you have a really good record of ongoing issues with this employee and you've already been doing corrective mm-hmm. actions, you've been going down that path. That still doesn't save you, but the vast majority are like Michelle described. You're thinking this person's marginal. I'm kind of thankful they're going to be out because they say they've injured themselves. But there's a whole other side to that about returning them to work and
right.
all the things that you have to do.
And likely you're going to be accommodating some changes to maybe the work that they can do for mm-hmm. a period of time while they're recuperating.
Right.
So be prepared to work with those physicians at the workers' comp practice that you sign up with
right.
and get that employee back to work and just be prepared for that and
okay.
know they're protected.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to share?
Just final note,
mm-hmm.
keep it confidential.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to share it with the staff, what happened. You know, if the person who's injured decides to tell everybody and they're nana, that's fine.
Right.
But it shouldn't come from you.
No, it definitely should not come from you because this is protected health information about your employee.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's everything we know about workman's comp. It's a pretty simple subject. Now you know everything we know. If you're a member or even, just someone who benefits from our training, you have a question, you know you're always welcome to ask it. You can reach us at 602-476-1418. Thanks, Michelle. Very
right.
informative.
Thank you. Bye.
This podcast was sponsored by Time Clocket, a powerful cloud-based time management and payroll system for your employees. Visit timeclocket.com.